our version of Shahar HaBechina, Wednesday night, Jonathan Sasson, guest lecturer.
You want to come nearer? Everyone's spread out. You want to come nearer? I have to shout. You got it?
Yeah.
Good book. Okay. Right, we're starting off with in the stars. We're going the opposite direction from yesterday. Okay, what's a star? Okay, a star is a balance between a very, very huge amount of hydrogen, which wants to collapse under its own weight into an extremely small volume. Okay, and as it does that, the hydrogen atoms get squashed against each other and really, really, really tight. Okay, and fuse together to form helium atoms, right? Hydrogen's the lightest element, helium's the next element, okay? And they fuse together to form a helium atom, okay? And that releases a tremendous amount of energy, right? That's the same thing happens inside a hydrogen bomb, okay? So that releases a lot of energy, and that's what's happening in the center of a star, and that energy heats up the star to incredible temperatures. Hot gas wants to expand, okay? So you end up with this balance between gravity wanting to collapse it and this fusion which wants to blow it out, okay? So you've got a huge fire there with this balance. Now, it goes on like this for like millions of years, okay? And then what happens next gets really interesting. Well, from now. The ones that Hashem made 6,000 years ago will last, according to calculations, for millions of years. Okay? So, and now, what happens next gets really interesting. It depends critically on the mass of the star. So we're going to go for the spectacular version, right? We've got a sun, a star, which is about 30 times bigger than our sun. Okay? And it's used up most of its hydrogen. Okay? So now it can no longer withstand the gravitational force. The gravitational force starts to collapse it further, okay? And all the helium which you made, which is the next heaviest element, those atoms get squashed into each other, okay? And they squash into each other and form the next element up, okay? Which is lithium or beryllium, right? And that generates even more heat, okay? And now the sun gets even hotter. And it gets so hot that it's able to withstand the gravitational force again. Okay, and so we go on getting hotter and hotter and hotter as we're getting more and more and more compressed, and as we're working our way up through all of the elements to heavier and heavier and heavier elements. Okay, until we end up somewhere in the region of about 100 million degrees centigrade. Okay, where we have compressed, we've got to the element of iron. Okay, and we've compressed the sun to quite a small volume. And this last stage, from the hydrogen to the iron, only took like a few thousands of years. And now it can't go any further. Okay, we'll explain now, I haven't got much time. Okay, now it can't go any further. And the iron continues to want to collapse and to push into each other. Okay, and what that does is generates an incredible explosion. Okay, and the whole star literally blows itself to pieces. And the explosion, when that happens, is generates more energy than our sun, for instance, will generate over its entire lifetime. It will outshine the entire galaxy. Remember those 100 billion stars? Okay, so just that one star exploding, big one, generates more light than the whole galaxy. Okay, this happens on average somewhere in the region of about 50 to 100 years. Every 50 to 100 years, somewhere in our Milky Way. When it happens somewhere near here, people see it, okay? And every now and then there's a new star in the sky which lasts for a few weeks, caused by this incredible explosion, okay? And then it fades away. So when it fades away, what actually happened there, okay? That star, when it exploded, it threw out the whole star, practically the whole star got shot out from the star at roughly a tenth the speed of light. And everything that was in that star, all those elements that we made, all the way from helium, all the way through to iron, whatever's left inside there, gets thrown out, okay? And makes some of the most beautiful jewelry. This is Hashem's jewelry in the sky, okay? So I'm going to show you some of the pictures that we get from these massive exploding stars. Okay, just a quick survey of some of the nicest ones that Hashem's left us in the sky to see. Okay, these will all fade away in a few thousand years if we're around to see it. Okay, so these are called planetary nebulae for some strange reason. Okay, and they're... This is the real color, and this is what you would see if you... The color comes in the center of the star. There's still in the center is still a very tiny remnant left, just called a white dwarf, which is still shining away. Okay, and the color comes from all the elements that are inside of there, which have been lit by the intense radiation from the center there. And they're also cooling down as they go out as well. There's a temperature effect here too. So it's a little bit brighter in the middle. And all these different shapes come about depending on how the star explodes. And people still don't know, haven't figured out exactly why, how Hashem makes all these different shapes. But they are indeed very beautiful. If you have a very fancy telescope, you can see these, or you could buy the book.
Have they captured it? Have it constantly on it?
This just, you can just look at the telescope and see these.
What are the odds of you seeing one by looking at the telescope?
There's a tremendous amount of work done by a lot of telescopes where just about every single star that we can see in our Milky Way has been catalogued and examined and investigated for about a few dozen different parameters. So you will eventually find all the ones that we can see from here. Okay? They're all numbered, catalogued, quite an incredible amount of data. No, you'll see this. This will last for a few thousand years. It'll fade away. But in that time, there'll be 10 more which exploded, which you can find. Okay?
But that picture, that's continuous. That's not just a one-time thing.
This is not right. This is what it looks like now. If you come back and look 100 years later, it'll be slightly bigger and slightly faded in the middle.
Oh, okay.
Okay? They last for a few thousand years.
In that state?
In this state. But slowly changing, slowly expanding. Yeah, they're quite... I see, you can see they really are very beautiful here. Okay, this definitely is Hashem's jewelry. Okay, this is a beautiful... this looks like a diamond. And one of the most famous ones is this one. It's called the Cat's Eye Nebula, which is really a most beautiful creation there. Okay, this is called the Ant Nebula. When people first looked at it with not quite so powerful telescopes, we've got the two parts of the body there and the legs sticking out. Okay, so anyway, so that gives us some sample of these beautiful, Shem's beautiful creations in the sky. When Shem first made the universe, he started off just with hydrogen. So this process that I just described, that's how we get all of the other elements in the universe. And through a process which I'm not going to describe, I don't have time. Okay, all this stuff that was made in the stars, in these exploding stars, and came out, will eventually end up inside new stars and new planets and new planetary systems. And everything you see around you, absolutely everything, and this is hydrogen, which you can't see, okay, from the carbon inside me, to the rocks, to the wood, to the stones, to the whole planet, was made originally inside stars, exploding stars. Exploding inside stars, which exploded and spread it out through the universe. Okay, this process is happening continuously of stars living, dying, exploding, and making more material for more stars and more planetary systems. Okay, and we are actually, for this part of the Milky Way galaxy, we're actually in the third generation of this process happening. Towards the center it's more, towards the outside it's less. Okay, all right, so that's now inside this system here, we've got one of Hashem's great little secrets here. Okay, the process I described is all very nice, and you can going from the lightest elements to the heaviest elements, except it has one Achilles heel. There's one weak point which no person figured out until quite recently. Okay, and that's the step going from beryllium to carbon is just about impossible. Okay, everything else you can knock out nice and easy. You can work out all the equations, all etc. But when it comes to making carbon, it's just about impossible. Okay, and people only found out quite recently how carbon is made inside the stars. Okay, and it involves three incredible coincidences. We have to have three helium atoms that all collide against each other instantaneously. If I mean instantaneously, I mean like picoseconds, okay? There has to be exactly the right, something called resonances, things vibrating inside the atoms have to exactly line up between the carbon atoms and the beryllium atom in the middle there, which gets made for a second, and the helium atom. So, and this is, you must work out the chance of this happening, these three amazing coincidences that all have to happen all together, all inside stars, in order to make life, carbon. Okay? And if that didn't happen, wouldn't be here. Okay.
Isn't that a contribution to entropy, moving up the periodic table?
It's like, no, it actually goes with entropy. But
it goes with entropy.
Yeah, but I'll tell you later.
Okay.